appropriate for the human beings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better to say, breathe into the soul of the human beings from his own spirit, according to the ayah of the Holy Quran, Surah Sad, ayah 72. So when I preparation at him and breathe into him of my spirit, then fall down in prostration before him. So at the thanksgiving, the people must be thankful for such a merit. And is it so? I mean, this nafakhtu fiha min ruhi, is it only for human beings or no? The animals and the plants are also considered to be among those people who benefit from the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What is for sure and certain is for human being that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created, according to the riwayat, when he created mankind and human being, he said that فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. He praised and appreciated himself for creating man. Because of what, according to the riwayat which are mentioned in the chapter Al-Aqli wal-Kitab Al-Aqli wal-Jahl in Usul Al-Kafi, there are lots of riwayat about the importance of Aql, about the status and position of Aql in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped man with aql, with intellect, he praised himself. Because this is aql that understands and perceives wrong and, let's say, truth, correct and false. And then it is aql that decides freely either to go which way, wrong or let's say false. That is why it is only mankind that are equipped with such a, let's say, capacity and capability. And when it comes to the angels, angels are not equipped with these kind of things, or animals are also not like that. That's why man is the best creature among all the creatures of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he bestowed upon us from his own soul.
That's right. And as I read the ayah of the Quran, the angels prostrated before human beings. Is it so?
Yeah, it is because of the status, the high rank and status of human being, as he is superior than, let's say,
even
angels. Even angels, if they commit no sin.
Okay, and this nafakhtu fihi min ruhi, I mean, how is the mechanism? Is it, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some of his spirit or blow into it, we can say some of, or breathe into it some of his spirit, or no, it is just a metaphorical sense, allegorical and metaphorical sense of the word.
You know, since life is from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the real life is only for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life of other creatures are all from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when sometimes you see that the body is there, all the organs are inside the body, but body is not working, it's not moving, there's no life in the body. It means that it is the life itself which is which relates to the spirit and the soul of mankind. This soul is from a kind of divinely or heavenly kind of source that is from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life to the body of man.
Yes.
Because body of man without soul, without spirit, has no life. This blowing into the body, it means that giving or bestowing upon the body of man the soul, it means the life. Because life, according to the Muslim philosophers, the main characteristic of life is understanding, perception, conceiving, and intellectuality, thought. These are the main characteristics of life. The one who is the one who is provided with the perfect level of life, he is the one who can think, who can gain knowledge, who can perfect himself in terms of thoughts, knowledge, these sort of things.
Okay.
That's why this capacity and capability that is given to human being is only from the soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the main source of knowledge, the main source of hayat, the main source of pleasure. That's why everything is from him and for him and will return to him.
That's all right.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and hell, Jannah and Jahannam, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did was to send Jibreel alayhi salam. And he sent Jibreel alayhi salam to Jannah. And he said, go and see what I have prepared for my slave who worships me and is obedient to me. Jibreel alayhi salam, he went and he saw the splendors of Jannah. He saw those things which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can comprehend. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then instructed Jibreel alayhi salam to go and see Jahannam. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he went and he saw the ferocity of the fire of Jahannam. He saw one part of the flame engulfing another part, enveloping the other part of the flame. He saw the horrors of Jahannam. And he came back, he said, "Oh Allah, by your glory there will be no one who will enter Jahannam. It's so scary and gruesome."
What is more populated, heaven or hell? There are Muslims who believe that the vast majority of people go to heaven. It's that Shia school of thought. Where it goes, the logic behind it goes like this. God is just. God says, follow the law. Humanity is divided into three groups. One group that knows the truth and follows it. Of course, those will go to heaven, right? One group that knows the truth and rejects it. But the vast majority of humans fall in the middle. The vast majority of people on the face of the earth would follow the truth if they were given an equal chance to know where the truth is. But it is that most people, due to environmental and other influences, are not given an equal chance to know the truth. So the vast majority of people go to heaven.
And as we said, because the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed into the soul of human beings, so he has a high, very much high status. So can we say that the chastisement, especially the severe ones that are mentioned in the Holy Quran for the human beings, is in accordance with the high status of the human beings? I mean, because human beings, in comparison to the other animals and plants, are born with a very much higher status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them specifically, even higher than angels. So the chastisement and the adab must be in accordance with their status too? Can we say that?
Yes, of course. You know, before answering this question, one important question is here is that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man with free will?
Uh-huh.
Why we are not created like animals?
Yes.
Why we are not created like, for example, angels without any free will?
Yes.
The response is that the best creation or the perfect creation is the creation that we be equipped with free will. If man is created like animals, of course, it was a kind of imperfection. It was a kind of deficiency in the creation of man.
Yes.
If we were created in a way that we were forcefully, for example, follow something, again, it was like an imperfect kind of creation. That's why If we have two choices, one choice is that man should be created without free will, and the other choice is that man should be created with free will. Now, which one is better? Which one is more complete? Which one is more perfect? Of course, the one side in which the man is with free will.
Yes.
So that is why Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man with free will. And of course, the responsibilities of all these good deeds and bad deeds that he might do, he might perform in his life, all of them also go to to the man
yes.
himself. That's why it should not be blamed on the creator of the man. Rather, it should be related and blamed on the man himself and herself.
Yes.
That is why, of course, it depends that in what status, in what rank you are, of course, then your punishment, your rewards will be always in line with that position and status.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much, Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. But all in all, we could say that human beings must value themselves because of the high position and the special position that they have among all the creatures. They are called as Ashraf-e-Makhlugat. I mean, the best of the creatures of all. The Vicegerent and Khalifatullah, you know, they are given such titles by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because of their special status in this world and their creation. So all in all, we could see that this spirit is put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is divine. If you want to get perfect, you have to abide by the religious obligations or at least work on your spirituality. If you want to get as close as possible or find qurbatan ila Allah, proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of spiritual growth. I mean, the ground, which is very much fertile, is over there, Shaykh, isn't it?
Yes, of course. You know, the exam, it is like this, that when someone, for example, establish and build a university,
yes.
And that university, for example, maybe thousands and hundreds of thousands of students might attend the classes and take part to those courses that that university had for them. But at the end of the day, you see that some of them, few of these students will get to the highest level.
Right.
But the rest of them will fail.
Okay.
Here, no one blame it on the university, on the professors of the university. No one blame it on, for example, the Ministry of the Science. All of them will be thankful and grateful to the university, grateful to the officials and authorities of the university. Everything blames on the students who themselves, for example, did not study, did not, for example, make use of those opportunities and chances that they had. Same is the case with us. We are provided with such a university in this world. It is a blessing for us.
Yes.
But if we ourselves do not want to, for example, achieve or attain perfection and proximity to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be blamed on ourselves.
That's right.
Not on anyone else. That's
okay.
Why we ourselves might devalue ourselves. We ourselves might, let's say, go to the wrong way and wrong path. And we ourselves will build Jahannam for ourselves.
Yes,
this is the way that we can do.
Okay.
We are free. We can do that.
Yes, that's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, please visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي تهران
روباشافيت غازا
جروم هيوز بروسلز
سعيد بورزا لندن
راشا ساغلام استنبول
سيد امين علمي كابول
شهان بات انديان ادمنستريد كشمير
Round the World with Reporters.
On Saturday, thousands of people joined a new rally in the Italian capital, organized, among the others, by the Movement of the Palestinian Students and the Association of the Palestinians in Italy. The initiative, dubbed Stop the Genocide, also saw the participation of high school students and families. People at the rally strongly condemned Italy's unwavering support to the Israeli regime.
L'Italia che si vanta di essere un paese democratico.
Italy, that claims to be a democratic nation, is a country where the government goes against the people's will. Profits always come first, even when a genocide is taking place. I'm teaching my kids to never give up the fight and to never accept being submitted.
The Italian Defense Minister Guido Crosetto has recently said that Rome has continued to export arms to Israel despite assurances last year that the government was blocking such sales following Tel Aviv's invasion of the Gaza Strip. Some Italian media reports recently revealed that despite the Italian government's denials, the value of arms sales to Israel more than tripled in December 2023 compared with the same month in 2022. and December last year was the peak of Israeli bombardments on the Gaza Strip.
Western governments have been systematically supporting Zionism and Israel's criminal regime, notwithstanding the protest against Israel's crimes that have been taking place across the globe. Italy's support to Tel Aviv must stop once and for all.
A solution to the onslaught in Gaza could be found if the international community stopped militarily supporting Israel. Italy, on its side, has been actively arming Israel through companies such as Leonardo and others. If we don't make sure that the Palestinians' right to self-determination is protected, and nothing will ever change.
Earlier this week, more protests and initiatives in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians were held in several Italian cities, including Milan and Naples. Max Civili, Rome.
A growing strategic partnership between Azerbaijan and Iran in the energy sector on full display. A collaboration that promises to bolster economic development and energy security beyond the borders of the two countries and in the region, as described by the Iranian Minister of Energy and his visiting Azerbaijani counterpart. A highlight of this cooperation is the near completion of hydroelectric power plants on the Aras River, a vital waterway on the Iran-Azerbaijan border, with construction progress reported at 96%. The strategic importance of these hydroelectric projects extends beyond national benefits, signaling a move towards greater energy independence and regional cooperation, including the creation of an energy bridge linking Azerbaijan, Iran, and Russia by connecting Iran and Russia's power grids through the Republic of Azerbaijan. This follows decisions made 2 weeks ago during the 17th Iran-Russia Joint Economic Commission in Tehran to boost economic relations in different fields. Managing shared water resources for energy production lays the groundwork for more mutually beneficial cooperation, which is why the presidents of both countries will be attending the inaugural ceremony. The projects are in the final stages, promising a significant boost in Iran-Azerbaijan bilateral relations, all in line with President Ebrahim Raisi's policy to expand relations with neighboring countries. Gizum Shahmadi, Tehran.
The top annual analysis of global arms sales found that France has risen to the number two weapons exporter in the world. The gains have often been made thanks to debt from Ukraine, which has become Europe's largest arms importer. French arms sales have soared 50% in recent years and now comprise 11% of the global market. The world's leading arms dealer is still the United States, which controls a record 42% of the global weapons trade. Arms sales to Ukraine has proven to be big business, and it may explain President Emmanuel Macron's about-face on the conflict. 2 years ago, Macron warned that Russia must not be humiliated, but he's recently become one of Europe's leading anti-Russia war hawks. France's top three arms clients are India, which is the world's largest arms importer, followed by Saudi Arabia and tiny but rich Qatar. Africa is still reeling from 40 tons of illegal free arms drops France made in 2011 to support anti-Gaddafi rebels in Libya. As predicted, the weapons soon found their way to Syria, the Central African Republic, Ukraine, and elsewhere. This week, French Parliament approved a 10-year military pact with Kiev, which guarantees billions in more weapons deliveries. Russia continues to gain ground against NATO-backed Ukraine, which is an important reminder that some weapons are made to work under actual wartime conditions, and some are made mainly for sales and profit. Robin Mazaheri, Paris.
An unprecedented global movement gaining momentum. Initiated by veteran French lawyer and academic Gilles de Verre, the Army of Lawyers for Palestine now has over 200,000 lawyers of different nationalities on board and still counting, as he travels from country to country to promote his grassroots campaign.
We are witnessing a new movement in the world. The atrocities committed in Gaza are no longer only a matter that concerns Muslim countries. Far from it. Here we have a French lawyer that has started an initiative that brought together 300 lawyers from across the world in less than 10 days, and that number grew rapidly to 100,000. And now with the MOU that we have signed at the Iran Judiciary Bar, that number will be rising to 50,000 lawyers. With Iran on board, you can also expect lawyers from Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to join in as well.
And an optimistic Gilles de Verre, who has already filed a complaint of genocide against Israel with the International Criminal Court, demanding an arrest warrant for top Israeli politicians, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
This is going to be a tough battle, without a doubt. But in just a few months, all these lawyers have joined us. This kind of solidarity is unprecedented. We have never seen so many lawyers join hands for one purpose in history. So this is a great sign, because it won't be enough to tell a judge, look, there's no many of us. Instead, we have to be able to defend Palestine with strong legal arguments. And by the looks of things, we have a solid base for that.
His South African fellow companion shedding light on the legal aspects of the matter while explaining how the case brought to the International Court of Justice by South Africa is also paving the way.
The ICJ order specifically spoke about creating a humanitarian corridor and a humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza. The United States and Israel were saying that the word ceasefire did not exist in the ICJ order. But this is not true, because the humanitarian aid on the ground at scale cannot be delivered without an effective and immediate ceasefire.
It is very clear that we are witnessing a birth of new age. A new movement of justice-seeking people from all over the world is emerging, and that is why, while the South African government files a complaint, we see a grassroots movement also taking shape, a very unique one that has brought together lawyers who are seeking justice in the battle between good and evil.
And in the words of these legal experts, this goal is not far from reach. Lawyers believe that we live in a new era in which this new global initiative will eventually lead to justice for Palestinians. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
An annual meeting of Quran reciters and memorizers with the leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Every year on the first day of the holy month Ramadan, leader of the Islamic Revolution receives top reciters of the Holy Quran to stress the importance of this very holy book in the lives of Muslims.
In the meeting, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei described the recitation of the Quran as a sacred art, while underlining that the primary objective of this very valuable skill should be to convey the meaning and message of the Quran to the public and society and create the ground for contemplation of the Holy Scripture. Elsewhere in his speech, Ayatollah Khamenei expressed his satisfaction with the abundant number of young Quran reciters in the country, viewing their increase as a blessing of the Islamic Revolution. Meanwhile, referring to the crimes committed by the Zionist regime in Gaza, the leader pointed out that the peak of resilience that is being witnessed in Gaza presently stems from a profound familiarity with and adherence to the teachings of the Quran. Before the meeting, young and experienced reciters and memorizers were very much excited to listen and take a glimpse of the leader.
I am very much excited to recite some verses of the Holy Quran in the presence of the leader. But this is a great opportunity for me to see the leader.
This is the third time I have the honor of attending such a great event. Today I am going to have supplications to recite about the holy month of Ramadan.
Other reciters were worried about the people of Gaza, who are observing the holy month of Ramadan amid the Israeli bombing and shelling campaign.
The month of Ramadan is the month of mercy and blessing. I do believe that during this month, the Zionist regime will face a big defeat.
At the end of the ceremony, the Quran reciters and memorizers held congregational prayers led by the leader of the Islamic Revolution and broke their fast together. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Iran, Russia, and China have conducted the main phase of a joint naval drill dubbed Maritime Security Belt 2024. After arriving at the northern part of the Indian Ocean, the vessels of the three countries practiced different operations. The joint drills took place in 17,000 square kilometers of water in a region that is an internationally crucial hub for energy and trade traffic. The first phase of the naval drills included live firing at designated surface targets in the Sea of Oman. Various vessels and fast attack crafts from the IRGC were also involved in the exercise. The vessels were armed with the state-of-the-art homegrown advanced weapons. The next phase included the Photo X exercise and offensive formations. The helicopters of the Islamic Republic of Iran Navy and the IRGC monitored the region in all stages of the exercise. Iran's Navy commander hailed the exercise as a successful endeavor to improve maritime cooperation of the contributing countries. The commander also said that Iran expects the drills to expand in the future.
This year, as we expected, regarding the types of vessels participating in the exercise, both China and Russia have increased the variety as well as tonnage of the vessels. So hopefully, we expect more countries to join the drills in the future, especially regional states.
Admiral Irani also stated that regional nations have the capacity to confront piracy and terrorism by enhancing cooperation. The exercises are the latest in joint drills by Iran, China, and Russia. Iran says regional countries are most welcome to take part in the drills that are going to take place in the future. The Islamic Republic has time and again stressed that regional countries are the ones that are truly in charge of establishing security in the region. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
On the first day of the holy month of Ramadan in Nigeria, the Islamic movement held a rally through the streets of the capital, Abuja, in a peaceful protest against the massacre of innocent civilians in Gaza. The protest march took the demonstrators to the gate of the United States Embassy, where they sat down and submitted a letter of protest condemning the Israeli genocide in Gaza and U.S. involvement in the killing of innocent Palestinians.
America is one of the major party in this killing of innocent female and children in Gaza. Since October 7th to date, they have killed more than 31,000 innocent people, majorly female and children in Gaza.
The demonstrators blame the United States and British governments for using their influence to block a UN resolution calling for a ceasefire. They said every decent government has condemned the Israeli terror attacks on the Palestinians, but the US government has continued to support the mass murder of innocent Palestinians.
They are killing female and children. They are imposing starvation on innocent female and children. Babies have been seen under rubble, crying inside blood. We see a lot of fathers carrying a lifeless body of their children killed by Israelis. Anybody that has concern for humanity should come out today on the street and show his solidarity with Palestinians.
The demonstrators burned the U.S. and Israeli flags as they slammed Tel Aviv's regime impunity and the silence of the international community.
Many Muslims in Nigeria believe that Israel's continuous killing of Palestinians in Gaza on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan is a clear proof of the regime's disrespect for Islamic sanctities. The protesters here are urging world leaders to pressure Israel to end the massacre in Gaza. Tanjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
Britons treat their National Health Service, better known as the NHS, with an almost religious reverence.
We grow up using the NHS from the cradle to the grave, free at the point of use, and that has tremendous significance for our lives.
But today, this eternal source of national pride is under increased scrutiny, with new figures showing more than 120,000 people died last year in England alone from delays in life-saving treatment. The NHS is a state-funded healthcare system founded in 1948. Back then, it cost around $20 billion in today's money to run. Last year, the government spent more than $181 billion. Despite that, more than 7 million people are now on the waiting list in England alone. That's nearly 12% of the population having to wait at least 52 weeks for a health consultation.
Our politicians aren't really serving the public interest. They are serving a neoliberal agenda, which is to transfer the country's natural assets and wealth to overseas corporations like United Health of America and other big multinationals.
The government has promised to cut the long queues, but has made little progress. The situation is no better in the rest of the kingdom. In Scotland and Northern Ireland, 1 in 80 people, and in Wales, 1 in 20 are having to wait more than a year for treatment. There's also the energy costs and inflation that has reduced the value of the NHS budget, meaning it now has to do more with significantly less. Add to the mix a shortage of staff, which means more pressure on exhausted employees.
We've had more than a decade of defunding since the financial crash. This has led to a real terms wage cut for staff. The whole population, the health needs have gone up. We have trouble keeping hold of staff, and we've also lost significant capacity with the NHS through privatisation. So we don't have enough beds, we don't have enough staff, and the staff we do have are being treated appallingly.
The health service is also coping with an ageing population. A large number of people now live with chronic conditions like heart disease and diabetes. The COVID-19 pandemic severely tested the NHS, with its aftermath still posing serious challenges. Health officials and experts warn for the UK's National Health Service to survive, the next government should declare it a national emergency. Saipur is at London.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزای لازمی است
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones
إن في ذلك لعبرة
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough. نقیم الدین ولا
تتفرقوا فی. مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 کتاب الله.
In the limelight.
In New York, United States, a judge has delayed the start of Donald Trump's New York hush money trial. Judge Juan Merchant delayed the trial until mid-April because of discovery issues. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster ABC News has covered this story and tells us more. The judge overseeing former President Donald Trump's New York hush money case has delayed the start of the trial from its original 25th of March start date due to discovery issues raised by the defense. Trial on this matter is adjourned for 30 days from the date of this letter, Judge Juan Merchant wrote on Friday, 15th of March, which would push the new trial date to mid-April. The judge scheduled a hearing for 25th of March to address the discovery concerns. Lawyers for Donald Trump were seeking to delay the start of the trial in order to allow them to review tens of thousands of pages of potential evidence recently disclosed by the Justice Department. Judge Juan Merchant, in his ruling on Friday, 15th of March, said, "There are significant questions of fact he must resolve before he decides whether the Manhattan District Attorney flouted its obligations to disclose potential evidence, as alleged by the defense." On Thursday, 14th of March, the Manhattan District Attorney's office proposed a delay of up to 30 days to give the parties time to review newly discovered material related to former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Donald Trump's attorneys were seeking an even longer delay. 30 days is not sufficient given the volume of recently produced materials and the nature of the ongoing disputes, Trump attorney Todd Blanche said in a letter to Judge Juan Merchant. "Therefore, we respectfully request that the court schedule a hearing on the pending discovery motion and the scheduling of a trial date, should one be necessary, at a time that is convenient to Your Honor, during the week of 25th of March." Donald Trump last April pleaded not guilty to a 34-count indictment charging him with falsifying business records in connection with a hush money payment that Michael Cohen made to film actress Stormy Daniels just days before the 2016 presidential election. In seeking the delay, the defense also repeated its insistence that the indictment must be dismissed. "The people's consent to an adjournment of the trial is a necessary step towards a just resolution of these proceedings, but the court must not permit that request to obscure the need to dismiss the indictment as a whole, or at the very least, for inquiry and fact-finding into the circumstances that put Your Honor and President Trump in this position, based on ongoing discovery violations," the defense said. Jury selection for the trial is currently scheduled to get underway on 25th of March in New York City. The former President Donald Trump has denied all wrongdoing. British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. A judge on Friday, 15th of March, delayed Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial until at least mid-April, after the former president's lawyer said They needed more time to sift through a profusion of evidence they only recently obtained from a previous federal investigation into the matter. Judge Juan Manuel Merchant agreed to a 30-day postponement and scheduled a hearing for 25th of March to address questions about the evidence dump. The trial has been slated to start on 25th of March. It is among four criminal indictments against Donald Trump, the presumptive 2024 Republican presidential nominee. Trump's lawyers wanted a 90-day delay to the trial, which would have pushed the start of the trial into early summer. Prosecutors said they were okay with a 30-day adjournment in an abundance of caution and to ensure that the defendant has sufficient time to review the new materials. Trump's lawyers said they have received tens of thousands of pages of evidence in the last 2 weeks from U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan, which investigated the hush money arrangement while Donald Trump was president. The evidence includes records about former Trump lawyer-turned-prosecution witness Michael Cohen that are exculpatory and favorable to the defense. Trump's lawyer said, prosecutors say most of the newly turned over material is largely irrelevant to the subject matter of this case, though some records are pertinent. The hush money case centers on allegations that Donald Trump falsified his company's records to hide the true nature of payments to Michael Cohen, who paid actress Stormy Daniels $130,000 during the 2016 presidential campaign to suppress her claims about Donald Trump. Trump pleaded not guilty last year to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records and has denied having any encounters with Stormy Daniels. His lawyers argue the payments to Michael Cohen were legitimate legal expenses and were not part of any cover-up. Prosecutors contend that Trump's lawyers caused the evidence problem by waiting until 18th of January, a mere 9 weeks before the scheduled start of jury selection, to subpoena the U.S. Attorney's Office for the full case file. District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office said it requested the full file last year, but the U.S. Attorney's Office only turned over a subset of the records. Trump's lawyers received that material last June and had ample time to seek additional evidence from the federal probe, the district attorney's office is claiming. Short trial delays because of issues with evidence aren't unusual, but any delay in a case involving Donald Trump would be significant, with trial dates in his other criminal cases up in the air and election day less than 8 months away. The defense has also sought to delay the trial until after the U.S. Supreme Court rules on Donald Trump's presidential immunity claims, which, as lawyers say, could apply to some of the allegations and evidence in the hush money case. The Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments on 25th of April. Donald Trump has repeatedly sought to postpone his criminal trials while he campaigns to retake the White House.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, once more, I am honored to be here. And this is Asma. Well, I'm not alone. I have a co-host in here, Brother Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always happy to be in Youth Station. And as usual, we're going to talk about something very, very fascinating. And this time, since we are in the holy month of Ramadan, we're going to talk about what's going on in these 30 days of holiness.
Or
and
29.
Of all the blessings and benedictions that comes from the skies above.
Right. I mean, this is probably my favorite month of the year, you know, since I was a kid. Because I think everything sort of changes this month, right? Everybody changes, the routine changes, the things that we eat and all the different things that we do.
Exactly.
I think it's just a very different month from the rest of the year. And yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same in here. Well, you know what? I used to say to everyone that in the holy month of Ramadan, and it's not something cliched or hackneyed, I guess the world becomes a different world. Like, human beings are different, the environment is different, the feelings that you get from everything is different. And it's all about the holiness that encompasses this month and everything about it.
Definitely. You know, there's so many blessings that we're told descend upon, you know, human beings during this month from God. And just, but apart from that, I think even our mood changes, you know, just the effects of not eating, for example, and the changes in routine, that also has a great impact on our, you know, way of thinking and how we perceive the world, because all of these things are sort of interrelated, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Why this month is so different from the other days of everyday life. And if I want to start with, I would say that the fact that you have more of time to strengthen your bond with your God is something very important. Like in the other days of the year, you also have this opportunity. But like as in here, you have an invitation. And then for this invitation, you're going to be mentally prepared. It's like you're looking forward these days.
Right. And you know, before even Ramadan starts, you know, the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, they're sort of like preparatory months for this month. This is like a culmination of, you know, of 3 months. This is almost like, I would say, just how seasons change, right? This is like the spiritual season, right? The Rajab. And Ramadan is the sort of the max.
The climax
of that, right, right. And God says, you know, this is His month, right? And we're told like once you go through this month, you're like a newborn baby, right? In terms of all of your sins are forgiven. And I know some non-Muslims that also fast during Ramadan, by the way. You know, when I was living in some other parts of the world, there would be sometimes non-Muslims that would just practice fasting because they enjoyed that feeling as well, by the way.
Exactly. Because in all of the Islamic countries, you can see the change in the city, in the face of the city. Everywhere is changing. People are getting prepared. The stores look different. Like, everything in the city goes through a very drastic change. And also, among the...
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamati. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, once more, I am honored to be here. And this is Asma. Well, I'm not alone. I have a co-host in here, Brother Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always happy to be in Youth Station. And as usual, we're going to talk about something very, very fascinating. And this time, since we are in the holy month of Ramadan, we're going to talk about what's going on in these 30 days of holiness.
Or
and
29.
All the blessings and benedictions that comes from the skies above.
Right. I mean, this is probably my favorite month of the year, you know, since I was a kid. Because I think everything sort of changes this month, right? Everybody changes, the routine changes, the things that we eat and all the different things that we do.
Exactly.
I think it's just a very different month from the rest of the year. And yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same in here. Well, you know what? I used to say to everyone that in the holy month of Ramadan, and it's not something cliched or hackneyed, I guess the world becomes a different world. Like, human beings are different, the environment is different, the feelings that you get from everything is different. And it's all about the holiness that encompasses this month and everything about it.
Definitely. You know, there's so many blessings that we're told descend upon, you know, human beings during this month from God. And just, but apart from that, I think even our mood changes, you know, just the effects of not eating, for example,
yeah,
and the changes in routine, that also has a great impact on our, you know, way of thinking and how mm-hmm. we perceive the world, because all of these things are sort of interrelated, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Why this month is so different from the other days of everyday life. And if I want to start with, I would say that the fact that you have more of time to strengthen your bond with your God is something very important. Like in the other days of the year, you also have this opportunity. But like as in here, you have an invitation. And then for this invitation, you're going to be mentally prepared. It's like you're looking forward these days.
Right. And you know, before even Ramadan starts, you know, the month of Rajab and Sha'ban,
yeah,
they're sort of like preparatory months for this
exactly.
month. This is like a culmination of, you know, of 3 months. This is almost mm-hmm. like, I would say, just how seasons change, right? This is like the spiritual season,
exactly.
right? The Rajab. And Ramadan is the sort of the max.
The climax.
Or the climax of that, right, right. And God says, you know, this is His month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're told like once you go through this month, you're like a newborn baby, right? In terms of all of your sins are forgiven. And I know some non-Muslims that also fast during Ramadan, by the way. You know,
yeah.
When I was living in some other parts of the world, there would be sometimes non-Muslims that would just practice fasting because
nice.
They enjoyed that feeling as well, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Because in all of the Islamic countries, you can see the change in the city, in the face of the city. Everywhere is changing. People are getting prepared. The stores look different. Like, everything in the city goes
yeah, yeah.
through a very drastic change. And also, among the...
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Tour the pitch.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
Islamati.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, once more, I am honored to be here. And this is Asma. Well, I'm not alone. I have a co-host in here, Brother Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always happy to be in Youth Station. And as usual, we're going to talk about something very, very fascinating. And this time, since we are in the holy month of Ramadan, we're going to talk about what's going on in these 30 days of holiness.
Or
and
29.
All the blessings and benedictions that comes from the skies above.
Right. I mean, this is probably my favorite month of the year, you
exactly.
know, since I was a kid. Because I think everything sort of changes in this month,
yeah.
right? Everybody changes, the routine changes, the things that we eat and all the different things that we do.
Exactly.
I think it's just a very different month from the rest of the year. And yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same in here. Well, you know what? I used to say to everyone that in the holy month of Ramadan, and it's not something cliched or hackneyed, I guess the world becomes a different world. Like, human beings are different, the environment is different, the feelings that you get from everything is different. And it's all about the holiness that encompasses this month and everything about it.
Definitely. You know, there's so many blessings that we're told descend upon, you know, human beings during this month from God. And just, but apart from that, I think even, our mood changes, you know, just the effects of not eating, for example,
yeah,
and the changes in routine, that also has a great impact on our, you know, way of thinking and how mm-hmm. we perceive the world, because all of these things are sort of interrelated, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Why this month is so different from the other days of everyday life? And if I want to start with, I would say that the fact that you have more of time to strengthen your bond with your God is something very important. Like in the other days of the year, you also have this opportunity. But like as in here, you have an invitation. And then for this invitation, you're going to be mentally prepared. It's like you're looking forward these days.
Right. And you know, before even Ramadan starts, you know, the month of Rajab and Shaban,
yeah,
they're sort of like preparatory months for this
exactly.
month. This is like a culmination of, you know, of 3 months. This is almost mm-hmm. like, I would say, just how seasons change, right? This is like the spiritual season,
exactly.
right? The Rajab. And Ramadan is the sort of the max.
The climax.
Or the climax of that, right, right. And God says, you know, this is His month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're told like once you go through this month, you're like a newborn baby, right? In terms of all of your sins are forgiven. And I know some non-Muslims that also fast during Ramadan, by the way. You know,
yeah.
When I was living in some other parts of the world, there would be sometimes non-Muslims that would just practice fasting because
nice.
They enjoyed that feeling as well, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Because in all of the Islamic countries, you can see the change in the city, in the face of the city. Everywhere is changing. People are getting prepared. The stores look different. Like everything in the city goes
yeah, yeah.
through a very drastic change. And also among the...
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Tour the pit.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamati. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, once more, I am honored to be here. And this is Asma. Well, I'm not alone. I have a co-host in here, Brother Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always happy to be in Youth Station. And as usual, we're going to talk about something very, very fascinating. And this time, since we are in the holy month of Ramadan, we're going to talk about what's going on in these 30 days of holiness.
Or
and
29.
All the blessings and benedictions that comes from the skies above.
Right. I mean, this is probably my favorite month of the year, you
exactly.
know, since I was a kid. Because I think everything sort of changes in this month,
yeah.
right? Everybody changes, the routine changes, the things that we eat and all the different things that we do.
Exactly.
I think it's just a very different month from the rest of the year. And yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same in here. Well, you know what? I used to say to everyone that in the holy month of Ramadan, and it's not something cliched or hackneyed, I guess the world becomes a different world. Like, human beings are different, the environment is different, the feelings that you get from everything is different, and it's all about the holiness that encompasses this mind.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.